You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Welcome. This is Religion Today. I'm your host, Martin Tanner. Last week, we discussed three of the major differences between the Protestant faith and the beliefs of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. In a nutshell, those were the difference between the Trinitarian concept of God, that God is three separate persons of one undivided substance, contrasted with the LDS belief that God is three separate persons, not of the same substance. And then, secondly, the idea of a priesthood of all believers, meaning that all members of the Protestant denomination in question would be priesthood holders. That contrasted with the idea that we find in the New and Old Testaments of Jesus actually ordaining specific people, including apostles and others, for certain tasks, given with certain authority. And then finally, the other point that we made was about salvation, the idea of Protestant faith that once one believes that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you are saved. That's it. It's done. No matter what you do, salvation is there for you. Contrasted with the LDS point of view that the scriptures teach that God does grant salvation, and no one can work their way to heaven. However, God grants salvation based on people obeying Him. Today, two additional major areas that I wanted to talk about, which are distinct and different amongst the Latter-day Saints and the Protestants. And those are the concept of sola scriptura, which is from Latin meaning from Scripture alone, or only Scripture, or only based on Scripture. There are a number of ways that this can be discussed. That and the idea of a closed canon, those are the major themes that I wanted to mention today. This phrase, sola scriptura, is an interesting one because it's the idea of Scripture alone being the authority for Christianity. No individual, no minister, not Martin Luther, not John Calvin, not any other person, but Scripture alone is the source of authority. Now, for me, that is fascinating because some of the major doctrines of the Protestant faith are not found in Scripture. So from Scripture alone seems to be contradictory with the idea, for example, of the Trinity, because nowhere in Scripture do we find it stated that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are of one undivided substance. It's just not there. Another fascinating self-contradiction with the idea of sola scriptura is the fact that the scriptures themselves never say the scripture alone is the basis of authority. Typically, Protestants will quote 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, which says, quote, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, close quote. But that doesn't solve the self-contradiction because there is no list in Scripture of what books make up Holy Scripture. And that is a very important point. If you look at the early Christian churches at the time Paul wrote 2 Timothy, what scriptures did they have? In other words, what scriptures was Paul referring to when he wrote 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16? When he wrote that, the only scriptures that were available would have been Old Testament scriptures, and according to almost all scholars, some of Paul's letters. The Gospels were not written before Paul's letters, and they weren't all compiled into one book. In addition, we know that there were many other books that were part of early Christianity that were regarded as highly important and as absolutely scriptural and authoritative as the books that we have now. One of the best examples of that is the Shepherd of Hermas, which was in good graces with all of the early Christian churches, or at least the vast majority. It is found in the Codex Sinaiticus, in the Codex Vaticanus, and the Codex Alexandrinus. It is a fascinating book, a wonderful book. It was in the early canon. It's gone now. And so where was the authority to put it in and the authority to take it out? It's not solely from Scripture. It's not sola scriptura. It was because of decisions made by people, people who were in charge of the Protestant faith at the time, those who were revered as early Christian church leaders. This was not a revelation from God. And even if it were, the Protestant theme is that sola scriptura is the important thing. God has given us Scripture, say the Protestants, and Scriptures alone give us enough for salvation. There is not a need for any further revelation after the New Testament era. After Jesus and the apostles, there is simply no reason for any further apostles or prophets or Scripture. This is an interesting point of view, because not only were there other, well, I mentioned the Shepherd of Hermas. This is a book that the title of the book is called The Shepherd, and the author is Hermas. There are a number of other books that were part of the earliest books that we have compiled into the Bible. Codex Vaticanus is the earliest virtually complete Bible, and it and a few others were the basis for the King James Bible. And yet if you go to Codex Vaticanus, that particular book has a number of books, New Testament books, that are not found in our Bibles today. And it also has books that we have today that were not there then. Shepherd of Hermas was there. We don't have it now. We have the book of Revelation and the book of James. Those were not included in the first, second, and third century Bibles or compilations of the Bible. And that is a fascinating, fascinating thing. So how is it that we have this idea that the scriptural canon is closed and that only the 66 books of the Bible that we have today are authoritative and useful? That's a fascinating question to ask our dear friends who are Protestants, because if they know the answer, they will have to say that the first list of books that is exactly the same as the one that we have today didn't happen until the 4th century. And it was an Easter address in which a list that's roughly the same as what we have now was for the first time listed. That means for hundreds of years, the 1st century, the 2nd century, the 3rd century, there was no authoritative list. The scripture alone leads you to ask, what scripture are we talking about? Because the scriptures that were around for the first 3 centuries did not have a list. And when the list became available, it was not from scripture, it was from a man. It was from a person who came up with an authoritative list. It's time for our break. When we come back, more about the differences between Latter-day Saints and Protestants. Today, about the idea of closed scripture and the concept of sola scriptura. I'm Martin Tanner. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this break.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Did you know you can get the three things you need to know delivered right to you? Just go to KSLNewsRadio.com, click on menu, and then newsletter.
Or go to the KSL News Radio app, and you click on menu, and then it's email alerts.
This is even easier. Just text the word inbox to 57500.
Get the top national and local stories with the three things you need to know newsletter.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind. Until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. If you have a question about this particular program or any other religious question, feel free to send me an email. Send it to martinstanner@gmail.com, martinstanner@gmail.com, and I will be happy to respond. Today, our discussion centers around scriptures. How authoritative are the scriptures? The Protestant doctrine of sola scriptura is the idea that the scriptures alone are sufficient for salvation. Therefore, we don't need apostles or prophets or anyone else to tell us what is true and what is necessary for salvation. All we need are the scriptures. And there are some problems with this. I wanted to sort of go over some of these. One of the biggest and most important arguments against sola scriptura is that it's not in the Bible itself. And so you're saying only by the Bible, but the Bible itself doesn't say that only the Bible is sufficient. And indeed, when we had that scripture in 2 Timothy that I mentioned on the other side of our break, which is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that was written before all the scriptures that we have as part of our Old and New Testament had ever been assembled. And so it could not have been referring to just the scriptures that were available then, because more scriptures are now available. Another interesting point that's quite significant is that we don't have a list anywhere in the scriptures that tells us what scripture should be part of scripture. And indeed, it was not for several centuries after the time of Christ that we actually had a list. The whole idea of sola scriptura is said to exist in the scriptures by Protestants. What they say is that sola scriptura is strongly indicated by verses like Acts 17, verse 11, which, taught by an apostle, says that we're supposed to test the written word. We also learn in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, that Paul says, don't go beyond what is written. And Jesus also is known in Mark chapter 7, verses 6 through 9, to criticize people who allow traditions to override the commandments of God. But none of those examples from the New Testament actually give a limitation on Scripture. As a matter of fact, you could say that all of those specifically suggest that if there is new Scripture, that would be authoritative as well. And we're taught that there will be new Scripture in the book of Revelation, which incidentally was added after these three verses, these three scriptural citations that are often mentioned by Protestants. We read about the prophets that will be the two prophets that will come in the last days and about their message. And those words certainly should be scripture, should they not? They are commanded by God to teach certain things, and their words have not yet been spoken. They won't be spoken until they come. Here's another example of what really ought to be additions to current scripture. It is without question by most scholars, by most good New Testament scholars, that the Gospel of Thomas contains genuine words and sayings of Jesus not found in our Bibles today. Shouldn't those new words of Jesus be part of Scripture? If not, why not? What would the basis be of excluding from Scripture the words of Jesus that we have not yet had? There was a book that was written some time ago by some theologians that was called The Five Gospels. And the fifth gospel was the Gospel of Thomas. And it took the very position that I'm mentioning today, that the sayings of Jesus in there ought to be included as scripture. I once had a conversation with Bruce Metzger, who's one of the world-renowned New Testament scholars from Princeton Theological Seminary. And he himself is a Protestant, and he is a true believer. But he is not, shall we say, a very strict and conservative doctrinal theologian, and he leaves open the possibility that there could be new scripture that was discovered. For example, what if we found a letter, a genuine letter of Paul that has been lost? For example, perhaps the one to the Laodiceans. If that were found, the opinion of Bruce Metzger and many others is that should be added to Scripture. And if we don't have a limitation on Scripture, why would we limit the authority of those who were inspired by God, such as apostles and prophets? Why would it be so wrong to have prophets and apostles in the future? Sola Scriptura would not say apostles and prophets could not be called in the future. It is simply Protestant tradition that they will not be. There is nothing in the Bible that says there will be no more apostles and prophets. Therefore, even the Sola Scriptura argument does not preclude the idea of prophets and apostles coming in the future. As a matter of fact, once again, the two prophets who are mentioned in the book of Revelations are future prophets that have been mentioned in the New Testament as coming in the future. Therefore, the New Testament itself says there will be future revelation, future prophets, future scripture. And so for even one who tries to adhere to the doctrine of sola scriptura, it would be self-contradictory because the scriptures themselves say no additionals, or the scriptures themselves say there will be additional scriptures, but the idea of sola scriptura says there will not. That is a self-contradiction. Ultimately, the Word of God is the ultimate authority for Christian faith. If God's authority can be given by new revelations that help guide and direct his followers, why would that not be appropriate? It seems that the whole purpose for the Bible was to give direction and guidance to those in the Old Testament eras and in the New Testament times. Why not have authoritative revelation from God that enhances the words of God in the last days? This is something that Sola Scriptura does not contradict. It is an idea that many theologians, including Bruce Metzger, hold out as possibilities. And it is also something that would make sense for the world today. And so in conclusion, those who are adherents of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints have a lot going in favor of their position, and that should not bring any great divide between the Protestants and the Latter-day Saints, because the idea of revelation, whether in the New Testament scripture itself or in modern revelation, that keeps people close to God should be embraced by all. Join me again next week. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.